So I would like to thank the organizers for giving me this opportunity to talk here. Actually, I work in singularities, but I'm not a minimal man. And recently I got interested in this gradient problem in the minimal setup. And what I'm going to talk about is one geometric result which is related to the study of the trajectories of gradient vector fields in the minimal structures. So the problem is completely geometric. Let me first state it. So we have a function which is definable, and let's say C1, and we would like to understand the geometric set of limits of secant lines and gradient directions. So let me define this set. Such that and so the direction of xi in the projective space go to L, and the gradient of F in xi also its direction goes to xi. So I would like to present today the methods which give you at least a partial answer to this problem. And I will start with well-known facts in the complex analytic category. So it happens that I describe an analogous set for complex analytic functions many years ago, in 1993. So let me just remind this result. But first, I have to introduce some notions. So the first notion is exceptional cones. So let us consider the following problem. We have a complex analytic variety, complex analytic set. And we would like to study analogous sets of limits. This is projective space over complex. And because I don't want to talk about the gradient, it's better to use the differentials. So the regular part and maybe I will change the notation. So this is a hyperplane. So if X is a hypersurface, then Xi is just the limit of tangent hyperplanes, and in general we take all the hyperplanes which contain the tangent space. And let me give an example. So f x is a one parameter family of cubics, I will try to draw it. And what happened now is that when you take the limits of the tangent planes to this surface, then contains two components. So one component, let me look at the notation. So of course you can take the tangent cone, which is y equals to zero, because everything is flat, even this, at the origin. You can see it looking at the special curve, which is the cusp. Okay, so dv is the so-called dual correspondence. It's classical duality in the complex algebraic geometry. Maybe a regular part, and maybe we have to close it. So in this case, V0 is just the projectivization of y equals 0. And what is V1? The projectivization of the t-axis. So there is an exceptional cone, which is in this case this line. And as you see, all the hyperplanes which contain this line can be obtained as a limit, even here. So the classical result says the following. Which I can attribute to many people, but probably it goes back to Kashiwara. That this space equals finite union of such dual correspondences. Okay. So suppose now that you have our function. And you consider the set of the limits as before. This is complex analytic. It's a not to a non-critical locus. So it's clear that this set is one dimension bigger than any dual correspondence. So the theorem is the following one. Which I obtained, as I said, many years ago, that so I raise the dimension. What is the notation? I will use here Fi. This space EF is the union of the projections where it's actually map which is not everywhere defined, so you can take the closure if you wish. One. And this is a map, standard map, which maybe I will tell later how to understand this theorem, because we will see what happens in the minimal case. Plus, there's one important point, which is that the incidence variety is the union of some dual correspondence, which actually are related to the zero set. So the incidence variety one remark, every dual correspondence is in the incidence variety, of course, and this is just a geometric counterpart of the so-called B regularity, Whitney B regularity, that when you take a curve, then the limit of the tangent contains the limit of the secant of this curve. Of course, for a function, we do not have B regularity, and exactly what is in the incidence variety is the union of those dual correspondences. Okay, so now I'm going to pass to the real case. Of course, one can expect that it's for a real analytic or subanalytic, there is not much difference. And there are differences in the O-minimal case. So let me, I'm going to state the results first. So I'm going to use this notation for EF and similar notation for EX real case. This is the gradient, sorry, it's not linear part. Linear form, but the vector. So the results are the following. The first one is virtually corresponds directly with the proof to the theorem of Kashiwara and the others. So it's well known, even if I don't know whether it's stated this way. So one difference is the result is the following. You can express it in the terms of dual correspondences if you want, because these are just cones. The difference is that it's only included, and of course you can see already on the example which was here before, that in the real category you cannot have quality. So as I said, this theorem is more or less known. And let me state the second theorem, which is new. For definable functions, which has a limit at the origin, plus cones and degree vi. One, homogeneous functions of course definable. So it's again, everything is conical. Actually, I haven't defined this but the definition is very similar. I here put the regular part of F. I, which means that both X is regular and F is C1, and this point is not critical. Maybe I hear it's not good with I, it's not the same I. So this is just the tangent space to the level of F through XI. And actually, it's not correct. Yeah, it's a mistake here. But this mistake is very important, because there is still some work to be done. This is a translation. Moreover, if the structure is polynomially bound, then so everything is very similar to the complex case for polynomially bounded structures, except the case that we have only inclusion, which is not surprising in the real category. There is this difference with the incidence variety. I'm going to explain this, why it happens, but let me first say a word on the proofs. On the proofs, which can be applied both to the complex category and to the minimal category, the idea of proof. So in the absolute case, for a set, it just follows from the principle of Lagrange specialization. which is essentially due to Kashiwara. And which, of course, works perfectly in the O-minimal structures. So the idea is more or less the following, that we consider so now again I'm changing to from vectors to from gradients to differential to the differential of the function. So this there is symplectic structure on it with the form which I will call alpha, and the subset there is isotropic. If this form, maybe I will say definable, because I to the regular part is zero, of course it's Lagrangian if this regular part has maximal, which means middle dimension. Let us note one thing. I noted because this follows from A, Whitney's A condition. Yes, if you stratify Z in the way that the regular part of Y is a stratum, then Whitney A condition tells you that the tangent spaces have in a continuous way. So if the function, if the form vanishes on a big stratum, vanishes on a small stratum, and another typical example is the following one. That we take X in Rn and we introduce in conormal space simply the closure. Regular part, and this is orthogonal. If you consider it's a vector, okay. This is a typical example this is isotropic plus conical in the fibers in this direction. And there is a very easy result, well known, that if a this is even Lagrangian. I need something, of course, definable. Then there exists and it's in the complex case equal. So conical and isotropic is more or less the same as a union of conormals, and the main tool here is this Lagrangian specialization. Which tells you the following. They exist. So actually, you can take as them the following. You take. Definable. Yeah, when you take the regular part, they are manifolds, but then you have to close it. So there are singularities on the board. So Lagrangian specialization simply tells you the following, that if you have a subset Z, or maybe it's a family, so I'm going to use the notation ZT of T. Then if all T are Lagrangian or isotropic, sorry, I will use it in this. So if Z zero, which is the closure over zero, so you see the proof is more or less the same. So it passes to the ominimal category. You use instead of A condition, AP condition. So by classical means now, proof of the absolute case theorem. Obtain by applying this specialization to the deformation to the normal cone. So these are strictly positive t. So this is the deformation to the normal cone. Which means that over t we stretch x by the factor t minus 1 and then we take the conormals to all the fibers. I haven't introduced it. I don't think this notation is standard. I'm going to change it. Sorry. The notation I used was for the projectivized case. Okay. So you have one parameter family of Lagrangian varieties. So by the specialization, its limit is isotropic, and moreover, Z is R plus conical in X coordinate. So there are two conical structures. One is with respect to eta, to the fiber of this fibration over Rn, and here it's in Rn conical. This is by the definition. And this is the proof, because it's such zero. Because such fiber has to be in the union of those guys, and if it's conical, those xi can be chosen conical as well. Okay, so this, so far so good, this works well. Let me go to the second theorem. Mm-hmm. But before, let me give an example. So now I'm going to talk about my goal, this set of limits, and the theorem says that it's the union of the limits for homogeneous functions, 1 degree homogeneous functions on cones, and something which is going on the incident variety, which we understand in the polynomially bounded case, and we do not understand in the general case. And this is, I believe, is open to understand it. Let me give just an example which gives this, which shows this difference and where this difference comes from. So, this is my favorite function. I think it's -1 here, I believe. So this is just the inverse of this function. And it satisfies the property . So now we consider the function, which is in polar coordinates. So the first observation is the following one. I'm going to compare it to R, which is, as I said, what does it mean? It means that W F condition fails. This function vanishes on r equals 0, and WF condition tells you that the tangent to the levels of this function, the angle between those tangents and the tangent to the to this axis should be bounded by the distance. But here is the opposite. Of course, WF condition is satisfied in polynomially bounded case. So what does it mean? It means that R inverse and if I take decompose the gradient of F into two parts, which is tangential part, so this is like when I take it in X, this will be the tangential part. So this is a vector. It's multiplied by the unit vector here, tangential part, which is theta in polar coordinates. And the spherical part, spherical part and which can be related to this in the polar coordinates. This means that here the spherical part dominates. So this is radial and spherical part. So this means that the spherical part dominates. And this simply means that when x approaches zero, approaches the incidence variety, its direction. X, the direction of X, S, the direction of X and the direction of the gradient approaches the incidence variety. Okay. So, this example shows that the last statement of the theorem is not true in not polynomially bounded structures, because if you have exponentials, you can say this example. And this set, of course, cannot be the union of conormal to, so in this case, dimension n minus 1. So, for dimensional reasons, cannot be the union of conormals to sets. Okay, so I have 10 minutes, so just main idea of the proof of the theorem. So, when you look at the theorem, you say that this limit is the same as the limit of some homogeneous function. So the idea is reduce to the following special case. Maybe I will use also the notation for XR, so simply as in the polar coordinates, so simplify this. Okay, and because what happens then? So, when you take the graph, gamma is given by, to add a variable, then on the graph we have the points of the type and because of this condition, actually we need only one condition, which is this one, which is this one. The limit of this guy gives me the limit of this. So if I have L, say twiddle, when I take x1 and the in the projective space, this is just the projection because of this condition, and the same happens to the gradient because of this condition. So when I take the equation of gamma, so because this dominates, if I take its part in the then the projection to the first coordinates. So how to reduce is the only problem. Then you are done because the limit to the gradient direction orthogonal to gamma are given by some cones in R n plus 1, and those cones are the graphs of your degree 1 homogeneous function. So that's not a problem. So what is this reduction? And this actually follows from the work we done recently with Krzysztof. Let me state the result. Okay. Connected component. So I'm going to state a simplified result, but which explains a connected component of the set . So this means, when you look, that we are away of the incidence variety in the limit. Then there exists a definable local homomorphism such that it depends, it's psi and phi, it depends on the connected component. It's different for different connected components. And as a consequence of this and this, so this is the reduction. Of course, I have to go with epsilon to zero, but this is a small technical point. And just one last sentence. This result is obtained by some finiteness. And this finiteness is just the result of the L-regular decomposition, that each set or family of sets can be decomposed into finitely many sets such that the distance between them up to a constant is realized by a definable curve. So there is a finiteness result behind this reduction. Thank you.